Why 2 Peter chapter 1? I took a book about 2 Peter to Thailand. Last time I went to Thailand, we were there for a month, because I needed something to read. And I started reading, but I didn't really get all the way through. But when it came to doing this service and thinking about gifts, then I realized the beginning of chapter 1 of 2 Peter says quite a lot about what God's given us and equipping us for the Christian faith. So the comments made in the commentary on it is that Peter was writing and he wanted to make sure that the people, where they were growing as Christians or learning and progressing in their Christian lives, realized that Christian faith, which is firmly rooted, must make a significant difference to the way we behave. It's not just we just believe a form of words and then it doesn't have any effect on our life. It's not possible to ignore the ethical requirements declared by Jesus and just believe in some special knowledge, because there were people at the time going around saying, if you know this thing and you know that, you don't need to keep God's laws. These just special knowledge will save you. And Peter was going to argue very strongly against these people, who were this fallacy that they were propagating. So if we can go to the next slide, please. So what Peter saw was that the Christians he was writing to were becoming in danger of becoming indistinguishable from the surrounding paganism because of false teaching. So this is a problem that, and it's what we all face, how to live in this world, which is to a large degree antagonistic to the Christian point of view, without, in fact, just becoming like it and losing the distinctive element that Jesus wants to make in us. And I don't think we'll see that he's not saying, oh, we should be completely separate from the world. It's a matter of growing in the Christian life so we can be in it and have an influence on it, but not be overwhelmed by it. And of course, because of that, it's a bit like now, a lot of the agenda in the church is dictated, like with the same-sex marriage, by things which are coming not from within the church, from outside to a large degree, which is in the country, and we have to learn how to live with that. Okay, if we go to the next. So God's gifts to us. So this is what the thing. There are two big things that were given to us: divine power and promises. As Peter says, if you've got these two things, then you're going to be all right, and you'll be able to make the right decisions in your lives. So if we go on to the next one, so his divine power has given us everything. Now, this divine power was not a very common word in the New Testament. Peter was writing in a language which the Greek people would understand. And it wasn't so much in the same language that Paul used. He was using different words. So divine power is hardly ever mentioned anywhere else, but it was mentioned in all the Greek literature because it was something they imagined that God would have. And so if we go on now. So it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us. And the word for godliness was a Greek word, eusebia. And it was used quite widely to talk about people who were religious, and then the being religious had an effect on them, so it produced some difference in their life. And this wasn't necessarily a Christian thing, it was just, it was a term, an etymology, which said that this would, that their religion would have result in some form of holiness. And so Peter is using it and saying his divine power is going to give you what you need to have a holy Christian life. And Jesus had set standards for holiness, which is saying you have to be holier than the Pharisees if you were going to please God. So he set extremely high standards, and in our own strength we couldn't do it. But with the help of God, it is possible for us to have lives where, in fact, us coming to church and doing things relates in some holiness, some godliness in us, which people around us can see and say, look, they were in church, it's made this difference to them. And that's the challenge, that people could look at us and see, that's what being in church has made the difference in their life. Okay, so if we go on, so the promises, he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. So Peter was talking like this, and he wasn't using the normal Christian terminology. And so this bit about you may participate in the divine nature doesn't mean to say you're going to become gods, but it does mean that God can influence you, so that you put yourself in the place that God is able to work in your life and have an effect on you. And so Peter, the promises he was talking about, they were made to Noah and Lot. And it's not the normal people you think about in terms of people giving Christian promises, but they were to be rescued from situations where, in fact, the world around them was very ungodly. And, in fact, God was able to do that. So he says, Peter's saying, it is possible for you to be rescued and kept in the situation where everything is quite antagonistic towards you. And the other one that they were talking about was what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah, that in fact God, sometimes people did things so bad that he couldn't restrain from doing something to stop it. It doesn't always happen, but sometimes it does. And then Peter, the people who were opposing and bringing their own ideas into how Christians should be living, or how you lived as a Christian, which didn't really matter what you did, as long as you had this special knowledge that made you a Christian. They denied the promise of the second coming of Jesus. So there are things in 2 Peter where, in fact, there's some quite famous words there. One is that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. What Peter taught was that, in fact, things were delayed because God was willing to give people a chance to repent and change. So, in fact, the judgment or the second coming didn't come straight away, because in fact God was being tolerant to people and giving them a chance to change. So if we go on to, so what Peter said was, do your best to add to your faith, and he adds certain characteristics. So if we can go to the next one. So this is a theatre. So the word to add to us seems quite insignificant, but it was talking about people who, in fact, invested in the local theatre. So the theatre productions were financed by the civic community. And the word which says, add to your Christian faith various things, was the word which is saying, please give generously to the theatre. So it is that particular word. So if we go on to the... Yes, so that's the part of a play they could go and see. If we go on again. So add to your faith is this word epikourego, and it means be a generous donor. And it was originally referring to providing funding for community theatrical production. So what it's saying is, and it's going to be a list of things that Peter's saying, to in your life, it's going to profit your Christian life. It's like you're investing in a display for everyone. There are certain things that you need to do as an investment. So if we go on. So the foundation is faith. And so the first one is goodness. And the important thing with goodness was this idea that they should emulate the life that Jesus led. So it was like Jesus didn't cut himself off from the world. He mixed with the people, but he didn't get swamped by it. And this is the challenge to us, to have this goodness that was really trying to help people, having God's attitude towards people, trying to help them for his sake, but also avoiding sinful things. So we go on to the next one. So the next one is knowledge. So, and the thing about these things that are listed is that it's like a rounded thing. It's not one is more important than the other. If a well-rounded Christian will have all these characteristics developed to some extent. And so knowledge is this thing is what is true and what is false, what is right and what wrong, what's becoming and what unbecoming, what is advantageous and what is hurtful. So it's able to make the right decisions, to understand when you should avoid something and when in fact it's quite safe to do it and God wants you to do it. And so it's having that knowledge. And then have self-control, so not letting your own desires dictate what you're going to do, and allowing Jesus to work in our life. And to self-control, add perseverance. So it's the willingness to put up with tough times because of the promise of better times ahead. So we all have the tough times, but it's encouraging you not to give up, but to keep going. And then comes back to godliness again. So this is the second time round. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. So brotherly kindness was a term for love within a home, but here it's used with the relationships between the different Christians. So it's saying that there's got to be something special added to the Christians so that in their relationships to each other, they really love each other with this brotherly love and treat each other as brothers, not like we just ignore the people. And then the last one is love. Agape. Now, it appears, as the commentators say, because they've already had about brotherly kindness, this love is something more than just being nice to each other. I mean, love, the agape was love which, in fact, gave itself up for other people. So it was not self-seeking, but, in fact, was doing things to help people who don't necessarily merit it, but we, in fact, give them our love, because God challenges us to do that. And it seems that, in fact, it's just not talking about having love within the church, but love out of the church to the people that we meet in the other aspects of our life. But this is the effect of the church going out and showing love to the others. So that's where we have the list of things that we can bring if we want to invest it in the godliness of being a Christian. Then we need to have these things in mind and to do them with God's help. And we can all look at ourselves and say, I need to improve that. Or I think sometimes when you get older, you retrograde that you were very good at some things, and then you get older and you get used to not doing certain things or not doing that, and you become lazy. So this is the encouragement to us to take this seriously and to ask God to bless us in our Christian lives during the next year. And here's a final promise: ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock it and it shall be opened unto you. So we have these great promises and we shouldn't ignore them.